Well, as I said, Angie is a joint editor of Let's Talk. But what about her partner in crime, so to speak? Terry Redhead celebrates half a century in journalism this month, and he's been chatting to his son, Jonathan, also a former journalist with the Eastern Daily Press and the Evening News. Here's Neil Haverson to eavesdrop on this family conversation.
Some people struggle to remember their very first day at work. For my dad, a dead body means it's something he will never forget. Arriving at the CAMS Times office in the Fenland town of March on Monday, August the 14th, 1972, the young reporter was dispatched with a colleague to speak to a local man about his recently deceased wife. "My first job was to go to a little house in the town where a man had just suffered the death of his wife," he says. "Mrs. Jolene Cook and I went to the little work minivan, knocked on the door. The gentleman, who must have been about 80, let us in and made cups of tea. Mrs. Cook took about 20 minutes asking about his wife and whether or not she was in the Women's Institute and that sort of stuff. As we got up to go, he said to Mrs. Cook, 'Did you want to see her? She's in the coffin on the table in the other room.' It was an interesting starting point for a teenager who had turned to journalism after recognising he would not be able to realise his sporting dreams. I was realistic enough to know I wouldn't play for England at any sport, so the next best thing would be watching and writing about it," Dad says. "By the time I was 13, that was what I decided I wanted to do, and for Christmas, when I was 14, Mum and Dad bought me a portable typewriter. I've still got it, and it still works." Terry used the typewriter as a first step to a journalistic career. He would send in reports of football matches he had played in before gaining his junior reporter's job at the weekly CAMS Time newspapers 2 weeks before his 18th birthday. Over the next few years, he earned his journalism qualifications and was soon writing general news stories as well as his beloved sport. People with vegetable-shaped things like the Statue of Liberty or someone finding a robin's nest in their bicycle basket. He became sports editor of the Hunts Post in 1977, had spell at newspapers in Wisbech, Kingslyn and Peterborough. While the chance to work with colour enticed him to become a sub-editor on the Angling Times magazine in the early 1990s, Terry joined Eastern Counties Newspapers, ECN, in 1993 and moved to Norfolk to work in Norwich in 1995. Spending more than a decade as Group Weekly's editor, looking after titles including the Great Yarmouth Mercury, Lowestoft Journal and Dearham and Fakenham Times, whilst also being coerced to launch editor of Let's Talk in 2002. Although he took redundancy in 2011, he got the chance to indulge his real passion, horse racing, as he enjoyed several years as racing editor for the Eastern Daily Press and East Anglian Daily Times, while also returning to Let's Talk as co-editor 2 days a week. Now his time is divided between working on Let's Talk, being a freelance journalist, and gardening. It is an encounter with a British sporting hero that ranks one highly in his lengthy career back in April 1981. After getting a call from a contact to meet a mystery man, he drove to a house in Chatteris, despite being hellishly busy the day after Easter Monday. "I drove there and my contact's wife met me in their palatial house and made me a cup of tea. I thought, 'Get on with it, I'm busy,'" Dad says. At this point, a young man walked down a spiral staircase holding the Embassy World Professional Snooker Championship trophy that I'd watched him win the night before on television. It was Steve Davis, and he was still wearing his pyjamas. We had a great chat, and the one thing I remember more than anything was he said, "I've got real ambition left." I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I want to be on This Is Your Life." Terry's career has also seen him rub shoulders with royalty, including a meeting with Prince Charles in Norwich. He came to visit ECN and I had to give a 10-minute presentation to him about local newspapers and with a lovely chat about village correspondence, he says. I told him about our network of correspondents and he asked, "Terry, are they all busybody ladies who sit behind net curtains and move them every time someone goes by?" I said I couldn't possibly comment. "The life of a journalist has had its downsides too," he says. He was once forced into a sharp exit after finding himself at the wrong end of an upset farmer's 12-bore shotgun, while he fashionably long hair in the mid-1970s saw him thanked as a lovely young lady by an appreciative 100-year-old he had written about. Although he has no intention of closing his notebook and putting the top on his pen just yet, Terry says the job of a reporter has shifted massively in the past half century, social media and the rush to publish online being the major changes. And while he laments the demise of the printed newspaper, he is convinced being a reporter is still a great opportunity and looks back on his past 50 years as a privilege. I think the whole thing about being a reporter is that it gives you, whoever you are and whatever background you have come from, the opportunity to talk, to meet people you would never have had the chance to be in normal life, in a different occupation, he says. It's a bit big-headed to sit and say I've met so-and-so. I could list 40 or 50 well-known people I've been pleased to meet, many of them my sporting heroes. But all the people, especially sportsmen and women, I've spoken to have been fantastic. And even now, when I go to the races and talk to winning jockeys or trainers, I get a real buzz out of it. It's been a great chance to meet people, go places and do things I would otherwise have never had the opportunity to do. It's been a real privilege. And looking back, it's nice to remember it all.
50 years and still going strong. Well done, Terry.